So we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 5 through 17 this morning. And it starts out reading this, "But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you." So, who is Paul talking about here? Who had caused sorrow to the church at Corinth? And for that matter, who had caused Paul sorrow? Because of, as we've looked time and time again, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen that Paul says here he wasn't sorrowful, but we know that he was very anxious about what was going on in this church, and that he wrote about that in his letter in the first chapter, how he did worry about them after he had been here and had seen the sin that was going on. He was worried about them. Who was causing this sorrow? Favor. Okay, yeah. That would be who I would point to as well. The incestuous man who had taken his father's wife. We're going to see that as Paul gets into it, though, it's not just that person. That's who he's referring to here, I think. But we're going to see with some of the wording he uses here that, especially in this verse right here, where he says, "But in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you." He kind of hedges his bets here when he's talking about the sorrow that's caused in this congregation. I would say that the majority absolutely were appalled by this man and his sinful choice of lifestyle. But we're going to see later on in our study here that Paul refers in chapter 12 and verse 21 to many in the congregation that were still living in sin. So I think that while Paul did have a great example in this man whose relationship and lifestyle was being overlooked by the congregation, there were many in this congregation, not a majority, but many, who are choosing to lead sinful lifestyles. Not necessarily the same as this man. Maybe they were still in idolatry. Maybe they were doing something different. But he's going to point them out as we go into further study into the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But yes, I do agree with Saber that he's referring to this man. I asked, what had he done? Well, he was doing something that most people around them would find appalling. Not just Christians, but the secular people in general wouldn't take kindly to a man taking his father's wife. That's just something that's morally wrong, whether that moral is based in God or based on what we base our morals on in this country. I assume that's mostly God, but a lot of people don't. But still, this idea of taking your father's wife would be considered immoral, even in today's time. Who had he caused this sorrow to? And that's what I wanted to point out in verse 5. It says, "But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree in order to say too much to all of you." Who is Paul saying that he's causing sorrow to? Is he causing sorrow to Paul? Absolutely. We've seen this idea before where we saw it in the Old Testament where God was absolutely abhorred by the Jews taking up not only idolatry but the sacrifice of their children, and going even further than that, and they were looked at, it's referenced that they were looked at as being worse than those who didn't have God around them, even though they claimed to have God. And that's the idea here, is that this centerpiece of sin that was laid before them, this man and his incestuous relationship was causing sorrow among their church, among their members. There may have been some that overlooked it, and there may have been a majority that thought it was wrong. But it took Paul writing that first letter to the Corinthians to really focus their attention on it and say, yeah, people are noticing this. God notices this. You cannot overlook somebody's sin, especially not when it's so public and in your face. This is something that needs to be dealt with right away. Yes?
Doesn't it more shame than sorrow, but when you bring shame to the church because the community knows it and it's a foreign to them more than it is to the people in the congregation, that brings sorrow and shame to those who are feeling it anyway.
Absolutely. And I was going to read that the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think he's very pointed in there. It says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This one was condemned by Paul. And Paul was instructing them to condemn him as well. As I said before, this was being noticed. He was bringing shame on the congregation. He was bringing sorrow into the congregation. And this was being noticed by the community around about who didn't even practice the gospel, who didn't care about it. But they cared about this guy who had this incestuous relationship. It was being noticed. And Paul wanted them to know that. In reference to last week's study, why did Paul change his travel plans? Again, we talked about this. This right here is one reason he changed his travel plan. Lee?
To give them an opportunity and a chance of correcting the problem.
Absolutely. Had Paul come right away after he had seen this, and we discussed this earlier, the apostolic discipline he would have had to bestow, not only on this person, but on others who were committing immorality and who were sinning, would have been severe. It would have been necessary in order for Paul to show that this was absolutely unacceptable behavior. Finishing off the idea in 1 Corinthians, Paul gets even more severe. So starting in verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. He was very clear, very pointed. He gave them very specific instructions what they needed to do. And again, we read here that he's not talking about the sin that's happening all around them. They live in a sinful city full of idol worshippers. And he tells them, well, you've got to associate with those people. You're not going to get away from that. There's no way. Otherwise, you'd have to be out of the world. But when somebody commits to Christ, accepts the gospel, as evidently this man had done, and then chooses to live a lifestyle that is 180 degrees from what Christ taught, then it's time to take action. And that's what he says in the first letter, and that's what he applauds them for here in the second letter. So starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, moving on, sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So what was Paul's purpose in directing the church to administer discipline upon the sinner? What was he trying to accomplish?
Restoration of the brother.
Okay, and Lee? This was a public sin, so it needed to be taken care of by the majority, by the public. Another thing, what was he trying to direct the sinner to do?
Repent.
Repentance. Okay? Who besides Paul guided the Corinthians in this discipline? Who did Paul reference to several times, over and over again, as we study? In chapter 7, in verses 7 through 11, I forgot to put that in there. Excuse me while I get into my Bible. Starting in verse 7, actually, I'm going back up to verse 5. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the oppressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us that your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance.